mantra by which the inhabitants of Plakshadvipa worship the Supreme Lord. Let us take shelter of the Sun God, who is a reflection of Lord Vishnu, the all-expanding Supreme Personality of Godhead, the oldest of all persons. Vishnu is the only worshipable Lord. He is the Vedas, He is religion, and He is the origin of all auspicious and inauspicious results. Purport. Lord Vishnu is even the Supreme Lord of Death, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Mrityuh Sarva Harashchaham. There are two kinds of activity, auspicious and inauspicious, and both are controlled by Lord Vishnu. Inauspicious activities are said to be behind Lord Vishnu, whereas auspicious activities stand before Him. The auspicious and the inauspicious exist throughout the entire world, and Lord Vishnu is the controller of them both. In regard to this verse, Shiva Madhvacharya says, Surya Samagni Varisha Vidhadrishu Yadha Kramam Plakhadi Dvipasam Sthitau Sthitam Harim Upasati. There are many lands, fields, mountains, and oceans throughout the creation, and everywhere the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by His different names. Srila Raghavacharya explains this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. The original cause of the cosmic manifestation must be the oldest person and must therefore be beyond material transformations. He is the enjoyer of all auspicious activities and is the cause of conditional life and also liberation. The demigod Surya, who is categorized as a very powerful jiva, or living entity, is a representation of one of the parts of his body. We are naturally subordinate to powerful living entities, and therefore we can worship the various demigods as living beings who are powerful representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the worship of the Sun God is recommended in this mantra, He is worshipped not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but as His powerful representative. In the Katha Upanishad 1.3.1, it is said, Ritam pibanto sukritasya loke guham pravishto parami parardhe chayata pau brahma vido vadanti panchagnayo yechatri nachiketah. O Nachiketa, the expansions of Lord Vishnu as the living entity and the super soul are both situated within the cave of the heart of this body. Having entered that cavity, the living entity, resting on the chief of the life airs, enjoys the results of activities, and the super soul, acting as witness, enables him to enjoy them. Those who are well versed in knowledge of Brahman and those householders who carefully follow the Vedic regulations say that the difference between the two is like the difference between a shadow and the sun. In the Svetashvatara Upanishad 6.16, it is said, Savishvakrid Vishvavidatmayonihi Gyahkalakaro Guni Sarvavidyaha Pradhana Kshitra Gyapatir Gunishaha Samsara Mokshasthiti Bandha Hetuho. The Supreme Lord, the creator of this cosmic manifestation, knows every nook and corner of His creation. Although He is the cause of creation, there is no cause for His appearance. He is fully aware of everything He is fully aware of everything. He is the super soul, the master of all transcendental qualities, and he is the master of this cosmic manifestation in regard to bondage to the conditioned state of material existence and liberation from that bondage. Similarly, in the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.8, it is said, Bishasmad vatah pavati bishadehi suryaha bishasmad agnishchandrascha mrityur dhavati panchamaha. It is out of fear of the Supreme Brahman that the wind is blowing, out of fear of him that the sun regularly rises and sets, and out of fear of him that fire acts. It is only due to fear of him that death and Indra, the king of heaven, perform their respective duties. As described in this chapter, the inhabitants of the five islands, beginning with Plakshadvipa, worship the sun god, the moon god, the fire god, and the air god, and Lord Brahma, respectively. Although they engage in the worship of these five demigods, however, they actually worship Lord Vishnu, the super soul of all living entities, as indicated in this verse by the words Pratnasya Vishnu Rupam. Vishnu is Brahma Amrita Mrityu, the Supreme Brahman and the origin of everything, auspicious and inauspicious. He is situated in the heart of everyone, including all the demigods. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.20, Kamayastayastayrahritagyanaha prapadyantenya devataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods. People who are almost blind because of lusty desire are recommended to worship the demigods to have their material desires fulfilled. But actually, those desires are not fulfilled by the material demigods. Whatever the demigods do is done with the sanction of Lord Vishnu. People who are too lusty worship various demigods instead of worshipping Lord Vishnu, the super soul of all living entities. But ultimately, it is Lord Vishnu they worship because he is the super soul of all demigods. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yana Tasmai Sri Guruye Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yana Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadam Akhyam Dadati Swapanandikam Vandiham Sri Guruh Chirtapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Scham Sirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathavitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sirada Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Shiradha Kanta Namastati Tapta Kanchina Gaurangi Radhi Vrinda Vanishwari Urishabhana Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatrupischa Kripa Sinhupevacha Pachitanam Pamanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare It was a long purport. So let me read the translation once again. This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Plakshadvipa worship the Supreme Lord. Let us take shelter of the sun god who is a reflection of Lord Vishnu, the all-expanding Supreme Personality of Godhead, the oldest of all persons. Vishnu is the only worshipable Lord. He is the Vedas, he is religion, and he is the origin of all auspicious and inauspicious results. Those of us who are secondly initiated, we have our Gayatri mantras, and one of them is for the sun god. As we know, he is the one who helps us to meditate. Actually, meditation is impossible without his mercy, without the mercy of sun god. And it is said in this text, let us take shelter of the sun god, who is a reflection of Lord Vishnu, the all-expanding personality of Godhead. And yesterday I wrote some excerpts from the book of Shiva Prabhupada, which is entitled Life Comes From Life. Shiva Prabhupada used to speak a lot on the difference between the matter and the spirit, and on the subject that life is actually comes from life, and life comes from the supreme life, which is Krishna or Vishnu. And it is not actually just religious people who are so eager to know what is the origin of life, what is the origin of universe, are there any demigods, or everything is just maybe the universe is just something which appeared, how the scientists say that there was a little dot, little tiny dot, and this dot was literally in nothing. So there was nothing, and there was a little dot, and this dot had a very high temperature and a very high pressure. So finally, it couldn't make it. So it exploded. The dot exploded, and here we have the universe. So the reason why the scientists are so eager to explain the origin of the universe and the origin of life in their own way, because anyone who has this knowledge, anyone who makes people believe in their theories and their knowledge, they are the controllers of people's minds. This is why the scientists are so eager to explain the origin of universe in this way. And I remember I watched a wonderful video made by one Christian minister, Christian preacher, and it is entitled 100 Reasons Why Evolution is Stupid. So I suggest anyone who is interested in this subject matter, you can watch this video. Although he is using many of the arguments we also use, but he's presenting them in such a wonderful way. I mean, you can really have fun watching this video. Well, he didn't convince me that I should, drink the blood of Christ, though, because I'm a vegetarian. But still, his arguments are wonderful, and he proves, he's a scientist, so he proves it scientifically, as our Bhaktivedanta Institute does also, that the theories of the mundane scientists, the theories of the modern scientists are false, and the methods they use to gather knowledge are very much imperfect and erroneous. But nevertheless, we can see that they are doing great job with their education, making people to believe in their theories. Like even here in India, we can see how educated people are becoming more and more far from the original Vedic culture. I remember myself traveling in Delhi in rush hour on the metro, and I got an impression that I was the only Indian there, because everyone wear jeans and t-shirts and stuff like this. So people, why they do this? What is the connection between between their theory that life comes from chemicals and the moral degradation of the general populace? It actually has a direct connection. If life comes from chemicals, this means that there will be no next life, and also there will be no responsibility for what I have done in this life. So let me just have fun. Let me just do whatever it takes to squeeze out the more enjoyment, as much enjoyment as I can. And because people believe their theories, they start living in this way. Like in big cities, you can see that. They just follow the so-called global way of life. Because there is no next life, there is no responsibility for what we are doing, so let us just enjoy. And also, everyone is living in this way. Everyone is wearing jeans, so I have to wear jeans. Everyone's having their gadgets, internet, Facebook, and other things. So looks like I have to live in this way. Because the majority of people just blindly follow their leaders. And if the leaders are materialistic, this is what the people do. They just follow the materialistic way of life. Fortunately enough, here in India, you guys still have family traditions. You still have such a thing as a tradition. And this is actually a sensitive spot in the demon's work, because to destroy the family tradition is not that easy in India. So what they do, they're trying to do their best to destroy the family traditions, and also to make people take bank loans. And as soon as they do this, they are doomed, actually, because bank credits, bank loans means they will just become the slaves of the respective banks. But still, they are not very much successful yet. So we can do our preaching work here, and we can do book distribution, we can do Harinams, and actually we have another job also, because we can see that ISKCON expands very nicely in India. ISKCON expands very nicely in other countries like Russia. But when people are getting attracted, then the second step is we need more spiritual leaders. We need more mature devotees to guide the newcomers further. This is why our preaching mission, especially nowadays, it is becoming evident that our preaching mission has two parts. One part is we have to preach, we have to distribute books and do Harinam Sankirtan. And the second part is purity. We have to, each and every one has the responsibility to become pure, so we can become the instruments in Shiva Prabhupada's hands, and we can guide the newcomers. Because ISKCON is there to expand. I mean, there is a tendency to expand more and more. As we attend the preaching programs, as we attend the Radha Yatras, we can see that there are so many people getting attracted, so many people. And then they wonder, okay, what is my next step? And we need more preachers, we need more spiritual leaders to guide the people. So, I'm sorry, I'm not a pandit, so I cannot do much justice to the text itself. But the main idea is Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the origin of everything. And you can try making experiment. Like there are so many scientists with their experiments and theoretical knowledge who wound up having faith in God. Like Albert Einstein, he did believe in God. He said that such a wonderful creation couldn't appear just I'm paraphrasing a little bit, couldn't appear just out of blue. It takes a great mastermind, it takes a great intelligence to create the material, the wonderful material creation. So we can, this is our life, like Americans say, it's a free world, so we can go in either way. We can try going in the way of material advancement, we can believe the modern scientists that life comes from chemicals and there is no next life, there is no responsibility for what we have done. And we can try going into that way, or we can believe the Vedic knowledge that Lord Vishnu is the origin of everything, Krishna is the origin of everything, and our duty is to serve Him. And by serving Him, we'll obtain, we cannot imagine what will be the result beyond our expectations. And one question which may be asked is, okay, if Krishna can give us all the benedictions, like in our Shishikshashtakam, it says that the Holy Name can give us all the benedictions. If Krishna can give the whole world all the benedictions they desire, then why not everyone is becoming Krishna's devotee? Why not everyone is Krishna Bhakta? If Krishna is the Supreme and He can give His blessings to everyone, so why people don't want to serve Krishna? Why people prefer to worship demigods? And the answer is, yes, Krishna can give all the blessings, all the desired blessings to all the living entities. And we see that people are coming to Vrindavan especially for this purpose, to ask Thakurji, to ask the Lord to give them whatever they want. And actually Vrindavan is the academy of begging. So everyone who lives here is a beggar. The only difference is the scale of begging is different. Someone maybe is begging for chapatis and dal or sabji, and someone is begging Krishna, oh my Lord, you know, I'm short in 1 million from 1 crore, so I just have 9 million, so I want 1 more million. Or, okay, I got my 9 daughters married, but 1 more daughter remains, so please. So everyone is a beggar here, so we're coming to Vrindavan to beg Radhishyam for their mercy. And someone, of course, this is the best, is begging Krishna and Radharani for an opportunity to serve them. But everyone is a beggar here in Vrindavan. So Radhishyam can fulfill all the desires of all the living entities. The only problem is Radhishyam are very partial towards their sons and daughters, the living entities. Like demigods, if you ask a demigod for a blessing, okay, they will give it to you. Even some people they may ask something harmful from a goddess, let's say from a goddess Durga or Kali. Okay, I want to harm this person, I want to do him harm. Okay, you do yagya, you take sankalpa, and you know, if you're fortunate enough, then or misfortunate, then maybe it works. But if it doesn't, then you will suffer. But when people pray to Radhishyam, then Radhishyam will consider a particular level of that person, and they may not grant them the benediction they want immediately if some purification is required. And this is the part which disappoints many people. So when they ask Krishna for a benediction, then immediately conditions apply. Okay, you want, let's say, okay, I want 1 crore of rupees. Okay, you want 1 crore of rupees, you have to do so many things. You know, if you ask 1 crore of rupees from Krishna, then immediately, you know, you have to do charity, you have to distribute prasadam, you have to donate some money to the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, and you have to observe some particular vows. Like if someone wants a son, then they immediately have to observe the fourth regulative principle. Means they have to restrain from the irregulated sexual life for some time. Because if men are weak, if they are engaging in that without restriction, then most likely there will be more daughters in their family than sons. So it's like this. Immediately, the need for doing some austerity is there. And this is too much for many people. This is why they go to demigods and ask them for benedictions. But what they don't know, though, is when they get benedictions from Krishna, these benedictions are karma-free. They are very hard to obtain, but they are karma-free. There is no more inauspiciousness as the result of such a benediction. So it's still better to get whatever we want from Krishna than from the demigods. Okay. Yes, it says in this purport, although they engage in the worship of these five demigods, however, they actually worship Lord Vishnu, the super soul of all living entities. So the inhabitants of Lakshadweepa and other Varshas are intelligent enough to understand that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Truth. But they have their respective representatives. They worship Lord Vishnu through a respective representative of Lord Vishnu. Like here in India we have the government, and the government represents Lord Vishnu, because the government is there to control this country and rule this country. So same way the inhabitants of Lakshadweepa worship Surya Dev, they worship the sun god, although they understand him to be a representative of Lord Vishnu. And very often people from the West ask a question. We may also ask him, okay, it's so much knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is packed up with knowledge. So what is the application of all this? Like we're reading this chapter, the structure of universe, and okay, what is the application? And before answering this question, we should understand how these facts, how the facts described in this chapter manifest right in our life. So how we can see these things in our day-by-day life. So especially here in India, we can see there are so many manushyas, there are so many human beings. Like we have such a thing which is called vritti. Vritti, we may translate it as inclination or internal nature of an individual. Though we are all humans, but still we can see that some people have the manushya vritti. The majority of them, they are humans, and some people have rakshasa vritti. They are demoniac, and Prabhupada used to point to the modern scientists, especially. So they are big demons. Although they don't look like this, if you look on the scientists, you know, they look like humans. They wear glasses usually. They look so respective, in a respective way. They can smile. They know how to talk. You know, they don't have horns and tails, so they don't look like demons. But the problem is their intention, their inclination is demoniac, because they are trying to do their hard, not every one of them, but the general tendency is there to prove that God doesn't exist, and the only God is actually the human being. And not all the human being, but let's say a golden billion of human beings. And amongst these golden billion, You know, there are a few selected individuals who are there to rule the world. So everyone else's business is to better cooperate with these guys, the global powers, so then everything will be okay. So this is their intention, and not only their intention, but still they are trying to prove there is no God, there is no controller, so human beings are there to enjoy the material world. So we can see that although we all have human bodies, but still there are those with the Rakshasa Vritti or demoniac mentality, there are those with Manushya Vritti or humans. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the living entity wants to enjoy all the three gunas simultaneously, then he gets the body of a human. So all the three gunas are there in our body. And Manushyas are generally influenced by Raja Guna, by the mode of passion. And also there are a few demigods amongst human beings. I mean, humans with demigod vritti, with godly inclinations. And if we look on ourselves, maybe we have the nature of a demigod or a human being, but maybe some of us can hardly make it to that level. It's maybe for some of us it's even hard to be on the level of a human being. And we all know what is the level of a human being. It is the level of the level of human life is the level of the four regulative principles. Yes, and maybe it's even hard for some of us to maintain even this standard. Maybe we have another inclination from our past life, from our sins. And by looking on others who may have godly nature or human nature, we may get disappointed. Okay, I've been chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for a few years already, but I still have to fight with my lower modes, and you know it's so disappointing. I know everything theoretically, but still my lower self is there. It's not purified yet. But in order not to become disappointed by looking on others, we should take into consideration the fact is we should not compare our progress with the progress of others if it develops envy in us. And also we should consider that someone may have a godly nature, he is a demigod, and his mind is peaceful, his senses don't disturb him, he is, you know, when he is singing he can you know use the techniques of all the schools of Indian singing, you know, he can do elephant this way, in South Indian way, in North Indian way, then he can do it in the Western way. I met one Indian devotee, he did everything, you know, he can sing in South Indian way, he can sing in North Indian way, he can sing like Shri Prahlad from New Zealand, so he's like, he's got amazing voice, amazing abilities. Someone may have this punya, some pious credits, and he's like a demigod. When he speaks, everyone is charmed. And whereas someone else, maybe he or she was a drug addict before joining Krishna consciousness, so his health is completely devastated, and his bag is like this. He doesn't have enough teeth, and he cannot even utter the Hare Krishna mantra properly because in his or her language, you know, they don't have such sounds. we shouldn't look on this from this perspective. Okay, he's the demigod, he's advanced, and this guy is from, you know, from not a good background, so he's not advanced. Actually, the main driving force of our spiritual progress is the absence of pride. You know, if that demigod is proud, this means his progress is stopped, so he may fall down. And if that guy who was a drug addict, if he is humble, then by Krishna's mercy he may make a great progress. And as we all know, in the beginning of our spiritual life, our progress manifests within the three modes of material nature. Means we have to make it from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, and from the mode of passion to the mode of goodness. Generally, this is the way. And there are those who are already in the mode of goodness or in the mode of passion, and it is easier for them to make the progress. But there are those who are influenced by ignorance, and spiritual life is a very difficult thing for them, because in ignorance, you know, you have to make more efforts to get out of ignorance. But if we look on these two guys from the spiritual perspective of view, how do we know? Maybe this guy who was a drug addict, maybe he is rising up from hell. So in order to be on his or her present level, he might walked a very long way, putting great efforts. And this demigod, maybe he's on his way of degradation. He's just enjoying his pious credits. But if he becomes proud and makes offenses, especially here in Vrindavan, then he may become a monkey in his next life. Who knows? And this guy who is rising up from hell, maybe as the result of his humility and constant efforts, Krishna blesses him with a drop of his mercy, and he drowns in the ocean of Krishna Prema. So we should not compare our progress with the progress of others if this develops envy, because we don't really know how much karma do we have. Whatever our way is, we should be patient, because no one walks this way for us. So there is no way to there is no shortcut. We have to walk all the way back to Godhead ourselves. And the more efforts we put in our spiritual advancement, the better for us. Like one of the first steps anyone can do, one of the first suggestions anyone is given when we just join Krishna consciousness, is to go through all the books of Śrīla Prabhupāda. Even if we don't have a computing mind, even if we don't understand so many things which are described there, we still should read Śrīla Prabhupāda's books regularly, just for our self-purification, because this is the instruction of our spiritual master. And also we should, someone may ask a question, what is the reason why we have to rise up every morning, attend Mangalarati, and then, chant our rounds? What is the reason? It says that just one Hare Krishna mantra, just one name of Krishna, we just say Krishna and immediately all the results are there. We are liberated, we have Krishna Prema. What is the reason? Why do we have year by year do the same thing, chant our 16 rounds, and maybe we are not feeling taste for chanting, but still we have to go on. But the reason why we should do it is this is the daily practice, how to get rid of our offenses, how to chant just one name of Krishna in the proper mood. And it takes us that long to develop the proper mood. Someone may find it very difficult. Okay, why do I have to do this in like year by year, 16 rounds, and also we are encouraged to chant more. Like Śrīla Prabhupāda and Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura, they used to say that if someone has an ability to chant more than 16 rounds and they are not doing this, so Krishna considers these guys lazy and he's not satisfied with such devotees. If they can chant more, if they have time, but they're not doing this. So someone may find it very difficult, okay, same thing over and over, year by year. So spiritual life is a difficult thing. But if we consider the material life, how difficult it is, let's say, to become a professional in any field of activities. Like, let's say someone wants to become a professional musician. So it says that in order to become a professional musician, one has to spend at least 5,000 hours of pure practice. Means just practice and practice and practice. You know, picking techniques, arpeggios, this, that. 5,000 hours means at least 4 years, 3 hours daily without any days off. So, and then he may be considered to be a professional, but actually it takes half of life to become a good musician or a good specialist in any field. Like how much effort and how many years is required to do a good business. Like so many people start their businesses and so many people drop these activities because it takes many, many years to learn how to make money properly, how to preserve money, how to invest money properly. This is a very difficult thing. So if we think that spiritual life is difficult or spiritual life is a boring thing, that then okay, you can try living material life. There are so many things which are boring and difficult in the material life. So this actually should encourage us to consider our spiritual practice more seriously, because actually no one is there to do our part of the contract for us. Like when we get initiated, we enter into a contract with our spiritual master, with our initiator. His work is to guide us on the way back to Godhead. He's taking our karma. You know, Shastras Shastras mentioned different figures, how many, what is the percentage of karma for the first initiation, for the second initiation. So I won't mention these figures. But still, the spiritual master takes the disciple's karma, and also he preaches to the disciple, he instructs the disciple, and the disciple's business is to follow his instructions. And one of the main instructions is to try chanting the holy name without offenses. And when someone is practice enough. Actually, another reason why Krishna makes us to do to chant our rounds for so many years with no feasible result is Krishna wants us to have a feeling when we chant. If we just do mechanically, you should know that mechanical chanting is a dangerous type of chanting. If I just if my lips are just moving. But you can tell by looking at someone if his eyes are going there, here, there. Means he's just doing mechanical chanting. His mind is not in his chanting. He's thinking about something else. So especially those of us who are a few years in this movement, they should know that mechanical type of chanting is a dangerous type of chanting. If our mind is not connected to the chanting, then at some particular point we may get really disappointed in Krishna consciousness and leave, because we cannot see the result. So Krishna, if we chant like this, then Krishna may hide himself from us, because he wants us to chant sincerely. Krishna, I've been chanting for so many years, but I'm still dirty, I'm not feeling the taste. So when Krishna hears this, the sincerity in our chanting, then he immediately starts manifesting. But at first he manifests as purification. So the first manifestation of his mercy is purification. And I guess it is the experience of so many devotees. When we get our second initiation, or for someone it maybe starts after the first initiation, then suddenly we are there to look in our heart, what is there, how much dirt is there, how many anarthas are there. And of course, Krishna usually doesn't do it with newcomers, because if they get to look in their heart, what is there, how much work do they have to do for purification, then they will probably get scared and just run away. But usually after second initiation, or for someone after the first initiation, we get to have darshan of our own heart. Like we pray, okay, Krishna, I want to have your darshan. But Krishna turns the table, turns the mirror to us. Okay, first you have the darshan of your heart, what is there, and decide, can I enter your heart, or maybe you should do some, you know, little cleaning there before I do that. So the first darshan we have is the darshan of our heart. And then when our heart is cleaned, when we have developed the necessary humility and our chanting is sincere, then Krishna starts manifesting in our heart. So the point is, we should have enough patience, and we should not get disappointed. Like someone asked Maharaj, I don't have taste for chanting. What do I do? I've been chanting for so many years, and no taste for chanting. So then, what to do? And Maharaj replied that, okay, if you don't have taste for chanting, is not really that serious as if you don't have taste for hearing and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Because, okay, we may not have taste for chanting, but if we hear regularly, if we chant Srila Prabhupada's books, if we associate with devotees, then slowly, gradually, we will develop the proper mentality, and Krishna will manifest in our chanting. And we should have faith in that sooner or later we will get Krishna's mercy. And if we are rising from hell, from the level of tamaguna, then okay, it will take us longer time, but still sooner or later we will make it, and sooner or later our consciousness will be like the consciousness of the inhabitants of Plakshadvipa, who are really conscious of Vishnu, conscious of Krishna. Okay, we'll stop on that. Questions or comments? Okay. Shiva Bhagavatam ki jai, Shiva Prabhupada ki jai.